Jacob Hester sitting down with us right now. You probably don't know this, but our producer is an LSU diehard, so he's very happy that you're with us, and hence the fight song and all that. How are you?
I'm doing great. Fantastic. Whirlwind days here at SEC Media Days, like it always is, but one of the best times of year. It's like the last final talking season. Then we kind of figure out who's who, what's going to be what. You get like maybe a week after this to kind of maybe take that last second vacation, and then you're fully in it. So, yeah. And anytime I get a chance to catch up with my guy, Randy McMichael, I'm the only person who can call him Randolph, I think. I still get away with that.
Yes, you're the only one.
You know, and look, and I allow him to wear a Liverpool hat as an Evertonian. Yes, like, he's the only guy that I would let do that as well.
I only wore it because I knew you were going to be here.
I know.
Yeah, that's the only reason I wore it, because I knew you were going to be here, and I know your love for Everton and everything like that. But, I mean, you are one of the, you are a diehard through and through LSU, war number 18. We know how you know, significant that number is. So I'll get straight to the LSU questions. The first one is your coach, the coach.
Yeah.
Is he on the hot seat, do you think? I know you can't come out and say he's, but is it a point where you know, looking over his shoulder or something like that?
I don't think so. I don't think they're at that point, because they hadn't had like a 6-win season, a 7-win season. Last year they had higher expectations than 9 wins.
Right.
But, you know, the previous 2 years before that, he won 10 games both those years. Now, y'all know, just like it is in Georgia and Alabama and other places, the expectation at LSU is to win a national championship or play for one or be in the conversation every single year. I mean, the last 25 years, outside of Alabama, Ohio State and LSU are tied for the second most titles, right? So they've had success, and 3 different coaches have done it, and he hasn't done it yet. So, like, there's expectations there, Randy. You know that. They're not going away. But I don't think it's been a situation where it's been so bad and it's been so disconnected that that's starting. I mean, they're married. That contract, they're married together for a good long while. I don't say hot seat. I don't say warm seat. If they had, like, an 8-win season, I think it would get loud. Like on radio shows and message boards and social media, it would get loud. Like, some of his maybe defenders would maybe turn on him then, if you won like 8 games with the roster that you have, the quarterback that you have. So no hot seat, but yeah, it'd be some uncomfortable times, I think, within the fan base.
I think we all kind of know the storyline of the 3 previous coaches won championships within their first 4 years and all of that. And I mean, that's incredible, first of all, but I think, you know, that it's an interesting talking point. I don't know, like you're talking about, whether or not that means this year has to be that or not. But just from an alumni perspective and somebody who talks about it all the time, like, do you feel like he's done a good job?
I do, because the job that he took over, and I love Coach O, man. I really do. I think 2019 is going to live as one of the most special seasons in college football history. And he was the coach of that. Like, he got that team. He was the foundation that got it together. But where the roster was, there was a lot of work to do that should never have to be done at a place like LSU, right? Randy, and you'll understand this, it was the first time that I was embarrassed to be a former player. And it was the Texas Bowl. You're playing against Kansas State, and you had 38 scholarship players, and you had a receiver playing quarterback. And look, I love John Trey Kirkland. He threw 3 touchdown passes in that thing. And hey, we were calling him, so his nickname's Chew, and we were calling him Chew Breeze by the end of it. It was fun. It was fun.
Why is his nickname Chew?
I don't even know. He's from a river parish, and you just don't ask questions about river parish guys. You just go about it. But, like, it was embarrassing. I'm sitting there, and I'm calling the game, and I'm like, this is an LSU. Like, Randy, can you imagine if Georgia had 38 scholarship players, right, and all of a sudden you looked up and you had a receiver playing quarterback?
It would be bad.
Right? It'd be bad. And I hadn't felt like that ever about LSU. And that's what he took over. He was, you know, he was named head coach. He was in the booth, like, with the TV crew talking about the game. And so it took a little bit longer maybe than people expected. But I think you have to realize where it was. Now, this year, right, there's no excuses. Like, these are your players. These are, you've recruited 95, 96, 97% of these people to your campus through high school or the portal. So it's going to be a big year. That expectation goes up. But I just think where it was never going, like, I don't know that Nick Saban could have fixed it as fast, you know, as a 3-4 year period. And so now that everything's kind of fixed, now that the foundation is back, I think you have to judge him the most critical here in this season, maybe not even last.
You were just talking about that magical year. You had a magical player quarterback.
Yep.
And according to a lot of publications you look at, you seem like you might have one now that could easily be a top 5 NFL draft pick. Tell us about that, the quarterback, because I remember, because he came in the second half of the SEC game and threw for like 500 yards.
Yeah. I know.
So what is it about this young man? Because a lot of people do think highly of him.
He's a unicorn in college football. He waited his turn. He sat there. He did not go in the transfer portal. And look, the guy that does my local show with me, Matt Flynn, had the same path. He sat for 4 years because he's behind Jamarcus Russell. He got his chance his fifth year. He didn't transfer, won a national championship in his fifth year, his only season starting. Those guys, they're just not around. That's why I call it a unicorn. Like, they don't exist. He could have gone wherever. But his dad, NFL coach, offensive coordinator for the Saints, he knows, like, hey, we're going to do this the right way. We're going to do it like when we were in school, Randy, you signed, you redshirted, you waited, then you played.
Right.
Nobody does that anymore. But I think within him sitting and learning, he was behind some really good quarterbacks, including Jaden Daniels, right? He gets to see how a Heisman Trophy winner goes about his business. And he did have games where he'd come in and, man, you're like, oh, I see it. But he's – look, he's been developed to be a high-level quarterback by his dad, Doug Nussmeier, forever, like for as long as he's lived. Like, his dad's been a coach at either an SEC school or the NFL. And you can see that in his game, right? You can see him go through the progressions, a true pocket passer. So, I mean, Heisman Trophy – top three for me,
right?
Like, and I see that, and I think anything under that would be disappointing for what the expectations are. Like, that's the level. He threw for 4,000 yards in his first year as a starter last year, right? That just doesn't ever. If you'd ever told me we'd have a 4,000 yard passer at LSU, I'd have told you you're on drugs, right? But he did it in his first year as a starter. So year one to year two is always that biggest jump. He's a Heisman contender. I think he'll live up to it all season long. Can they stop enough people to make it mean anything? That's going to be the question.
Jacob Hester joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, talking some LSU football and just sort of SEC football in general. Now that it's day four and it's sort of wrapping up, feel like you've learned anything this week from anything anyone said, Greg Sankey or any of the coaches, about sort of the future of the conference and the playoff and all of that?
Yeah, who knows? In the Big Ten, the SEC, like, at this standoff, yeah. And it's like, you know, it's going to be a measuring contest and who's going to blink first. Like, who knows with all that? But the thing that I guess you do know is, like, whatever is the best, the SEC is going to be in front of the best, right? And so, like, if I'm an SEC fan, if I cover the SEC, playing the SEC, I don't worry about getting left behind, basically. Yeah. So, like, are they going to be able to figure that out? That's something that we have to see. Like, as far as, like, the football portion of it, though, learning this week, the interesting thing to me is the normal teams over the last 5 years that have been dominant, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee made a playoff last year. Texas, you can even throw Ole Miss as far as wins. That is the quarterback question teams, right? And you might have it figured out. Like, I did the Sugar Bowl. I loved what Gunner did in there in moments, but, like, we don't know. We don't know about Arch Manning.
Sure.
We don't know about Austin Simmons. We don't know who's going to be a star at Alabama. And then you've got this middle portion, middle of the pack, South Carolina, Florida, LSU, Vanderbilt. They've got their guy. Right. Oklahoma, I think.
He's stud.
John Mateer.
He's a stud. Very good.
They've got it figured out. Do the top teams have it figured out? And how close do those teams get together because of that? Like, does the middle catch up and really gain some traction on those top teams? And do we see a wide-open SEC this year? No SEC team right now has a projected win total over 9.5. Georgia, Texas, and Alabama, I think, are all at 9.5. But we've always seen Georgia be like 11,
yeah,
right? Alabama's be at 10.5, whatever it might be. So that's the intriguing thing to me. Those teams that have the quarterback, how much can they gain on those top teams?
I have one more LSU question because he's one of our favorite players, Perkins. Perkins Jr. We love him, all those different things. How is he healthy, and are they going to let him rush the passer instead of dropping into coverage?
So he's going to play star, which is like a nickel Sam for us.
So no.
Well, he'll be coming off the edge, but like in a different role. Now, all right, Randy, you're going to know this better than anybody here. If you were lining up at tight end, your hand in the dirt, and you saw a 220-pound edge lined up across from you on any run play, what would you do?
Whipping ass.
Every time, right?
Yeah.
No matter how good he is, and Perkins is really good, you put him in the dirt. Every time. I know you would. I've seen you do it. I've been your teammate.
Right.
He can't live there. And that's what fans need to understand. So Jimbo Fisher is on my show every Tuesday. And I asked him on air, I was like, hey, how did y'all game plan for him? He said, if he was on the edge on first and second down, we checked run to him.
Okay.
Checked it right to him. Because you can't live, like, that's a 260, 270, 280-pound position. So he can't live there. It's on the coaching staff. Okay, well, he's not a stack backer either. Just not. Doesn't, you know, that's a position. He doesn't read it like he needs to at that position. But you know what he's really good in? He is good in coverage. He's good off coming off the edge.
Uh-huh.
What position gets to do both those things?
Star.
A nickel star.
Right.
Nickel Sam. Like, whatever you want to call it. So that's what they're going to do. Like, he's going to be in coverage a bunch. He's going to come off the edge. He's going to be in press coverage, and you're going to forget about him. Here he comes. I think that's the best place for him. I think that's what he plays at the next level. And sure, on third down, if you want to say, hey, let's put another DB in and put him on the line of scrimmage, that's where he gets his edge rusher reps.
We appreciate it, Jacob.
Yeah,
thank
absolutely.
You.
Appreciate you, anything brother. From a man, Randy McMichael.
Appreciate you, brother.
Jacob Hester there. Also, I know you were talking before we had you jump on. We got the local show and the national show.
Yeah, dog.
We got 6 hours of radio every day.
Yeah, we do. I do
good
OTB
Lord.
In the mornings in Baton Rouge, 7 to 10. Then I do off-campus every afternoon from 2 to 5. Look, my dad's a Marine. His tagline growing up, too gritty to be pretty. We ain't worried about being pretty. We're about being gritty. So
you can't complain about it. That's a damn fullback for you right now.
Well, thanks again. We appreciate catching up with you at SEC Media Days every single year.
Appreciate it, brother.